Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. This is the gospel. On this you can rely, and on this you can stand. On this you can rest your faith, even in the face of death. That Jesus Christ truly died for our sins, and truly rose again from the dead, and appeared to his apostles. He preached peace to them. He showed them his hands and his side that had been pierced when he was crucified. And he commissioned them to speak for him in forgiving the sins of the penitent and in retaining the sins of the impenitent. This is most certainly true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is about certainty. The certainty that comes not from inside of you, and not from a personal experience that you've had with the risen Jesus, but from testimony, from the witness of the Holy Spirit Himself, through the testimony, through the witness of the apostles who were there and who saw Jesus risen from the dead and saw His hands and saw His side. Of course, the irony of that is that those very apostles of whom you heard in our gospel today started out as anything but certain. And they themselves didn't even believe that Jesus had risen from the dead and conquered death until they saw with their eyes. The personal experience of Jesus' 11 apostles had taught them one thing for certain. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. It had only been 2 days since then. And even though the faithful women had come to them and had told them that the tomb was empty, and even that some of them had seen Jesus alive, none of it mattered to those fearful disciples. Their personal experience on Good Friday trumped the testimony of the women. Their personal experience with Jesus' death had already caused them to forget Jesus' word, to forget Jesus' power, and to forget Jesus' promise that he would rise on the third day. Then, as they were gathered together in fear, with the doors locked, Jesus appeared in the midst of them, it says, not as a ghost, not as a memory, not to each one separately and individually, but to all of them there together. He appeared as a living and breathing man. And he said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, it says he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. What peace is this that brings joy and gladness to the hearts of the men who were just moments before afraid to death, that they might turn out as Jesus turned out at the hand of the Jews? This is the peace that can only come from Jesus. The peace that doesn't take away any of your earthly problems, at least not right away. And yet, this peace makes everything okay in the midst of your earthly problems. Because Jesus is risen from the dead. He took your sin to the cross and suffered for it in your place. And now he's alive. And he says to you, not burn in hell, you rotten sinner, but peace be with you. He shows his disciples the marks of his suffering, the nail prints in his hands, the spear print in his side. But now the suffering itself is over and done. Death is destroyed. The conqueror of sin, death, and the devil has just entered the room, and his words are pure comfort. Peace be with you. That's where the certainty lies. For the 10 disciples who were gathered on that first Easter evening, and also for us, because of the next words that Jesus speaks, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Not in a vision of Jesus risen from the dead, where we can place our fingers in the nail prints in his hands or our hand in his side, but in the word of that Jesus, for us who live 2,000 years after it took place, here is the certainty of his resurrection. The risen Lord Jesus sent his apostles out into the world as he had been sent by his Father into the world, with that much certainty. Whoever saw Jesus, whoever heard Jesus, was hearing and seeing God. Well, now Jesus has sent his apostles and their successors out into the world. And there's a difference, of course. Jesus represented God perfectly because he was the express image of the person of the Father. And he was sinless. The apostles and their successors, those who have been called by God through the church into the office of the holy ministry, are mere human beings and mortals and sinful. But Jesus knew that. And still he sent them as he had been sent. He placed them into the office and placed his Spirit on them. He authorized them to speak for him, specifically to forgive sins to the penitent and to retain the sins of the impenitent. He did this for the very reason that he himself would not be conducting the ministry of salvation, the ministry of the gospel in the world visibly from here until he comes again. No one on earth would have a personal experience with the risen Jesus except for one, whom we heard about today in Bible class, the Apostle Paul, to whom Jesus did personally appear after his resurrection and did appoint him to be one of the apostles who would go out with the other apostles, who were handpicked by him to do it and authorized to do it. It is God's will that you not seek a personal experience with Jesus, but rather that you seek him in the ministry of his word and sacraments that he himself appointed, in the office of the keys, as we call it. As St. Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, that is to the ministers of the church, the word of reconciliation. Now then we, the ministers of the church, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is where you can have certainty. This is why I and all ordained pastors of the church wear a stole. The stole is nothing but a symbol that a person has been ordained into this office that Christ himself appointed, so that when you hear me say, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the stead of Christ, you are to know that that's not your pastor wishing something upon you or telling you something that he thinks is true. It's your pastor standing in the place of Christ speaking with the authority of Christ. It's the voice of Jesus. And in the same way, when I warn you about your sins in Jesus' name, or retain your sins in Jesus' name in accord with the word of Christ, that's not just your pastor making stuff up either. It's the voice of Jesus. As St. John testified in today's epistle that you heard, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. The Spirit that Jesus breathed on His disciples on that Easter evening, authorizing them to speak in His name. The water of holy baptism that has Jesus' own command attached to it and promise attached to it. And the blood of Christ that gives baptism its power and that has the word of Jesus attached to it in the sacrament of the altar. Means of grace, as we call them. Means by which the Holy Spirit creates and strengthens faith. Means by which you can have certainty of the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. Because God's Spirit is in the Word and sacraments to bring you to repentance and faith in Christ and to forgive sins to all who believe. Finally, in our Gospel, we have the comforting account of Thomas, which also adds to our own certainty of the resurrection, because we see what stubborn unbelief looks like. And we also see its cure. Thomas refused to believe his brothers and sisters on Easter Sunday. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas insisted now, "Only my personal experience with Jesus could ever change my mind. I must have this in order to believe." Well, now, Jesus could have left Thomas in his unbelief. Thomas should have known better. He was wrong to insist on this personal experience as a basis for his faith in Jesus Christ. He was wrong to disbelieve the word of Jesus and the witness of his brothers in the ministry. But Thomas did have to see the risen Jesus if he was to fulfill Jesus' word to be a witness of the resurrection. That was a requisite of being an apostle. You had to have seen Jesus risen from the dead so that you could testify to the world of his resurrection. So Jesus gave him a week and then returned when all the disciples were together, including Thomas. "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And with that statement, Jesus rebuked Thomas for his unbelief. But his words also brought peace back to Thomas. And Thomas then confessed one of the best confessions ever made to Jesus: "My Lord and my God." It was not an accident that Jesus first appeared to his disciples after Thomas wasn't there. The curing of Thomas's unbelief by the risen Christ now serves to cure you too when you start to waver, when you start to doubt, when you begin to live as if Jesus weren't risen from the dead, as if Jesus weren't real. His word of peace at once convicted Thomas and restored peace and joy to Thomas. And his word still gives certainty to you today. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." How can you believe without seeing? Because the word of Christ and the sacraments of Christ are better and more powerful than sight. You don't need any signs but these. You don't need personal experience. You just need the word of Christ delivered to you by the witnesses whom Christ appointed. As St. John wrote, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." St. John knew very well that the words which he wrote, that the words which his hearers would hear down through the ages, were enough to turn people into believers, were enough to sustain people in that faith through all the atrocities of this world, through all the tribulations of this life, all the way to the end, because they're filled with power, the power of God's Spirit, breathed onto his disciples by Jesus himself. Stand firmly on these things that are written. Cling to holy absolution. Rest in your baptism. Rejoice in the holy sacrament. Here is your certainty, now and in the face of death. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.